Je suis à Genève, à l'hôtel Métropole, avec John Carroll Lynch. Bonjour. Hello.
Hello. Nice to talk with you.
Thank you. We met already this summer in Locarno, where Lucky, your movie, was presented. And now it's coming out in the cinemas here in Switzerland. The difference between Locarno and now, it's that your main actor just left us. So how do you feel about this? Maybe you wanted to pay tribute with this movie, but it has a different now flavor, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very different. Well, I mean, it's not that different in terms of what the movie's about, but it does change the relationship of the audience to the movie without a doubt. And I'm fortunate. I mean, we're fortunate as filmmakers that the movie we made was about living in the face of mortality. So his death emphasizes the vitality of the movie. Mm. It doesn't decrease it. I was saying the other day that I'm really glad that he doesn't drive away in a car with Anne Margaret saying "just married" at the end of the film. That would really put a damper on it if he were dead.
And could you tell us again about the starting of thinking of this movie? Because you were very fond of Harry Dean Stanton, but maybe it was as well the opportunity to meet him.
Well, the movie was already written when I by the writers when I joined. It had started the process of writing the first draft, and it was a movie about living and the extremis of the main character's life. The fact that he's close to 90, that he's an atheist, heightens the drama about what to do about this fear that we all share of our mortality, and how to live with some kind of answer to that that doesn't require anything but what's around us. Mm-hmm. And I really thought that was a fascinating way of looking at this subject, and I'd never seen a movie like it before, and it was inspired by Harry Dean Stanton, the lead. So it was an opportunity to work with an actor who I've admired most of my life, all of my conscious life pursuing acting. So it was a great opportunity to work with him and something that meant something to both of us.
I'm just taking your word. You're saying he's an atheist, but he's got a very strong philosophy of life.
Yes, he does. The atheism to me, the fact that he believes there's nobody out there, doesn't change anything about the way in which he has to come to terms with mortality. I think that's one of the things I liked about the movie most, frankly, is that it treats atheism as a faith, just as you would treat Catholicism or Protestantism as a faith, or Judaism. That the relationship to death is not altered by the belief system you're working under.
And every time he meets someone in the place, the little town where he lives, he wants to change the world, but actually he said, well, maybe we have to live with that world.
Yes, I agree. And he also, each person has a kind of a solution that they try to share with him. And he ignores them all or refutes them all until the very end. And he discovers something that works for him individually and personally. And it has something to do with the, you know, kind of the fragility and vitality of life that is exhibited not only in his body but in the desert around him. It's a very funny movie. He's a very funny character. And he also finds meaning in the connection he discovers he has with all these people that he didn't think he had.
How far he could influence on your work as a filmmaker? Because the first opening sequence, we saw Harry Dean making some yoga exercise, and it seems that it's a part of his life.
So much of the movie is inspired by his life and his behaviors. The yoga was part of that. Many of the other behaviors he exhibits in the film are things that Harry did every day. These things were create a kind of a density of realism in the movie, which is important. It also created an interesting cross current in working on the picture, because it's a fictional narrative. It's not a biography or a documentary. Mm-hmm. So it was an interesting challenge to take pieces of Harry's life and rearrange them into a new person.
And how do you feel after having been working for weeks, months with him?
Well, his every day when I was going through the footage with my editors, every day we did that, every hour we did that, there was a new discovery of how good he is at his work, and how he's an actor who is working at a level of being on film that most people don't attain. And the quality of the performance is astounding. It's particularly astounding considering that it's fully about his character. Every scene begins and ends with him. So there's a 90-year-old man, close to 90 when we worked together. He was just barely 89. And yet he carries every scene in the movie with a lot of dialogue, a lot of physical stuff, and a lot of emotional stuff. And he does it with such, such quality. It's an amazing performance.
And humor as well.
Yes, Harry's always been a funny guy, and this movie is no exception.
And could you tell us about the other actors, as well as the one sharing the same name, family name with you?
We have such a wonderful cast of actors. All of them are mid-career professionals, mostly American, I think they're all American character actors. Beth Grant is familiar to audiences through a variety of pictures. We worked together on Pablo Larraín's Jackie, and Ron Livingston has been in literally dozens of films, including Office Space and also Band of Brothers. We worked together. And then we have, James Darren, who people probably haven't seen for a long time, and Barry Shabaka Henley, who's an actor with a long resume. And then we were able to ask and receive a yes from David Lynch to be in the film. It was Harry's idea.
You're not relatives.
No, we're not related at all. It was a funny thing at Locarno during the first press conference. A journalist said, "And your father's in the movie." And I said, yes, he is in the movie, actually. That's funny that you knew that, because he's one of the background people in the bar. And I told a story about him falling asleep in the middle of a shot. And the journalist was very confused. And it took me 3 days to realize he thought David Lynch was my father. But no relation.
A very young father, actually, in that case.
No, he could technically be my father. Okay. He would have been pretty young when he had me, yeah. But he has 5 children, and his oldest is only about 4 years younger than me.
Oh, he could.
So, in theory, he could. Harry and he had known each other for 45 years when he said he'd do the picture, and they'd worked together for 30 of those 45 years, I think, on and off whenever David called. So, they were very close friends, and Harry suggested David for the film. And gratefully, we were able to not only get a yes from David, but also find the time to do it in a very busy schedule of his. And I think his Howard is disarming and interesting, and a perfect harmony line to Lucky's melody line.
And what about you? You've been playing in hundreds of movies as well as series on TV, and now you're behind the camera. What about this step, new step for you?
Well, the storytelling seems to be the same, which is exciting to understand, that just because you change chairs doesn't mean all the experience that you have is not useful. That being said, there were a lot of things about filmmaking that I had an intellectual understanding of and no experiential understanding of. So it has been a very exciting, very challenging learning curve to experience those things. It's made me want to try it again, because I enjoyed it very much, and also the response has been so positive, so that gives me the potentially opportunity to do it again. I love the idea of being able to tell stories that I don't have to be in. That's an exciting thing. And I love talking to the other storytellers in the technical aspects of filmmaking about the tools that we can use to tell stories from that angle that I didn't have access to as an actor. So those things, along with the opportunity to foster stories I want to tell, make me want to continue the process of directing as well as acting, because I don't think I'll ever give that up.
But according to your experience as an actor, do you treat differently the actors when you are the filmmaker?
Yes, you do treat them differently, but with the same kind of respect that I would treat them otherwise. The difference is that your responsibility is not to play with someone; it's to draw forth. It's to give them the benefit of an objective perspective on what's being played, mm-hmm. which allows you to hopefully find words that draw forth a more vivid, more vital, more interesting, and also a more coordinated with the camera performance. Because not only are you a directing performance, you're also directing the coordination of the performance and its recording. Mm. So you need to allow for that part of the job as well. When the camera's, this is an example, but when the camera is moving and the actor is moving, you have to make sure that all the moments are caught on camera. So you have to allow for that kind of discussion with an actor as well, to say, this is a gross example, but to say, you know, we need to see the gun before, if there were a gun in the scene, we need to see the gun before this line, and the camera's moving this way. Those kinds of technical aspects have to be served as well. But so you have this kind of dual responsibility, which is to draw forth the best performance that you can for the actor, to make sure that the moments that you're getting on film will work to tell the story that you're trying to tell, and that they are recorded in the way you need to have them recorded with a camera and with a microphone.
And which filmmakers in France you work? Do you have some references, either in Europe or in the States?
Well, in terms of this individual movie, we talked a lot about kind of four filmmakers, David Lynch being one of them, Peter Bogdanovich, Jim Jarmusch, and John Ford. Those were the four that we talked about. But in a different project, it will be different people, because it'll require different kinds of storytelling. And if, like me, you're a young filmmaker, even though I'm not a young man, I'm a young filmmaker, then, you know, the opportunity to be inspired by people who do it really, really well is part of what you have to draw from. And hopefully at some point you start speaking with your own voice. Mm. You do that anyway, even if you're influenced by other people, but the great filmmakers they're not past the point of referring to other films, but they're not beholden to it anymore. They're creating those iconographic images that will inspire others. So somebody like David Lynch works at a visual level that's so uniquely his own. I don't know who he is inspired by more than inspires, but I know that he inspires. Mm. Yeah.
And at the beginning of the interview, I was saying your film was presented during the last Locarno Film Festival. How was it as an experience with the Piazza Grande and...
Locarno was the first time I'd ever been to Locarno, and the Grand Piazza is incredible to see a movie there. We did not premiere there, gratefully. We were at the Fevi, which is 3,000 seats, and on our first screening at the Fevi, that was the biggest crowd that's ever seen the movie at once. It was packed with passionate filmgoers, which I think every screening is there. Mm. And it was really exciting to see an audience respond to the film with subtitles and with a language that isn't their first language. I know a little bit of Italian, for example, and it was fun to watch read the subtitles about the crossword puzzle and recognized that they changed the number of letters of realism to match the eight-letter word that realismo is in Italian, so realismo. So that was funny to watch. But also, there was a moment where Italian words are used in the film, but they're slang Italian. They're Sicilian slang Italian in filtered through the Bronx. So there was a moment where ungazzo it was used, and but it's shortened to ungazz, and you felt the Italian-speaking audience go, wait, what? Like,
he did.
I just read that word at the same time I heard it, and it wasn't quite the same. But then the second time it was used, there was this warm, you know, this really warm recognition of the word.
With the audience?
From the audience. Mm. And the response at Locarno, obviously, was very influential to getting the movie out to European audiences and having me come back. The Swiss distributor found the movie there. So the fact that it was such a success there that they had to add screenings to because of its popularity was helpful in us securing me being back here in Geneva.
Mm. So twice in Switzerland in a few months means a sign. You have to discover Swiss chocolates, of course, before leaving.
Yes.
And my question is about the title. Yeah. Was it your choice?
It was named something else when I first read it. We talked about a title. The writers came up with Lucky, and I liked it a lot because it's a well-used title. Obviously, it's a word that's used a lot in for titles before. But I loved that it named someone, but also that it was about somebody who was fortunate enough to be as long-lived as he was. And at the same time, it makes people wonder about being lucky. Like, what does it mean exactly? Mm-hmm. It's a very metaphorical name. So I was happy. Several meanings, that's right. And also some ironic meanings, you know, because it doesn't feel lucky to die. But the fact of the matter is, nobody who's listening to this is going to make it out alive. So it's you're pretty much guaranteed that if you want to make sure you have a certain bet on your own death, you'll make it.
About Lucky, we're thinking of your main character, of course, Harriet Stanton, with the cowboy look and the boots and everything. And you might have heard we lost a singer and actor, Johnny Hallyday, this night.
Yeah,
he was a reference as a character as a cowboy in the thinging in the cinema, and he had a look of cowboy as well. Have you heard about it?
I heard about his death. I don't know the artist, but I heard about his death just today. And obviously, he's had a great deal of influence on the French culture, and I will probably look him up. That iconography of being a cowboy. Is something that we were playing with in the film, because it takes place in a Western town, but it's interesting how evocative that's been for the Europeans.
In Texas, right?
It actually is in New Mexico. It's in Arizona, the town.
Oh, Arizona.
Yeah, Arizona, but we don't tell you where it is. The only thing that makes it that it can't be anywhere but Arizona is that the saguaro cactuses that you see at the end, the tall cactuses, they only exist in Arizona. And the tortoise that we used is a Sonoran desert tortoise, and that too only exists in that area. But you don't have to know that to enjoy the movie. That sense of being from the West is very evocative to European audiences. So it's not surprising to me that a French singer would adopt that as a way of defining what he was after.
A way of life.
Yes, a way of life.
Giancarlo, we have to leave you, so last question about your project, if I may ask.
I have some acting things coming out. There'll be a movie called Anything. I'm not sure when it comes to Europe, but hopefully it will. That's a movie I'm acting in. And I have a television show that'll be coming out in Canada.
As an actor.
The next thing I'll be directing, I'm just going to start writing, you know, what I believe will be my next picture. in January, and I hope it'll be, hopefully it won't take 3 years to do.
We are looking forward for it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Enjoy your stay in Geneva.
Thank you.